Rushdoony Radio presents Systematic Theology in Two Volumes by Russus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation. 2. The Trinity and Subordination. One of the most absurd and yet common of all heresies is subordinationism. Subordinationism places one or two persons in the Godhead on a lower level than another. This is the subordination of persons. Usually, it is the Son or the Spirit, or both, who are subordinated to the Father. An implicit Unitarianism is usually in the background. In the Joachimite heresy, the Father and Son were subordinated to the Spirit. From Marcion to the present, more than a few have downgraded the Father as supposedly representing law as against grace, the Son, or love, the Spirit. In any and all cases, subordination undermines and finally destroys biblical faith. To indulge in any degree of subordination of the persons of the Godhead is to deny the unity of the Trinity and the fact of God's being. Another form of subordinationist thinking is the subordination of attributes. We have already noted one form of this, that is, placing grace, law, and love on different levels and as supposedly contradictory. Very commonly, subordinationism treats God's law or justice as somehow a lower attribute and grace as a higher one. The presupposition in such thinking is that contradictions exist between justice and grace, and therefore contradictions are implicit in God's being. For Marcion, these contradictions were the foundation of his theology, which therefore could only rend Scripture and use one part to rule out the rest. Those who profess to follow, quote, New Testament Christianity, end quote, not only implicitly or explicitly deny the Trinity, as the Campbellites do, but they also pit various attributes of God one against another. Instead of a unity of the Godhead, subordinationism posits a warfare within the Godhead. Moreover, subordinationism rests on serious misconceptions and absurdities. To institute degrees and gradations into the being of God is to posit an impossibility. In man, such degrees are inescapable. A man can be an able thinker, a poor mechanic, and a croaker as a singer. He is a creature, and his limitations are many. But perfection is an attribute of God. No part of God can be less than God. Implicit in all subordination is the assumption that one aspect of God's being is lesser than another. And basic to such an assumption is anthropomorphic thinking. It assumes that God is like us, something God denounces. Quote, Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself? End quote. Psalm 50:21. God, in his economy or in his workings, can institute a relationship whereby, at differing times, each person of the Trinity acts in a leading or prior way. These are the economical aspects of the Trinity. When we speak of the ontological Trinity, we cannot speak of any subordination. God in himself is one God, three persons, with the same substance, power, and glory. The Trinity in God's own being is without subordination. The Trinity at work, the economical Trinity, can see differing persons of the Trinity depending on the context of history, taking priority, as in creation, atonement, and Pentecost. The economy of the Trinity does not alter its being or ontology. Without the doctrine of the Trinity, there is no Christianity. Apart from the Trinity, there is no God. Without this doctrine, man's thinking faces an endless blind alley and an inability to account for the facts of unity and plurality. The reality of unity in creation and the reality of particularity or individuality rests on the fact of the Trinity. The triune God is the eternal one and many, and the basis for the possibility of a created or temporal one and many. Neither particularity nor unity are illusions, as they have been in non-Christian religions and philosophies, because in God himself we have both unity and particularity, as Van Til has pointed out, quote, "Using the language of the one and many question, we contend that in God the one and the many are equally ultimate. Unity in God is no more fundamental than diversity, and diversity in God is no more fundamental than unity. The persons of the Trinity are mutually exhaustive of one another. The Son and the Spirit are ontologically on a par with the Father. It is a well-known fact that all heresies in the history of the Church have, in some form or other, taught subordinationism. Similarly, we believe all, quote, heresies, end quote, in apologetical methodology spring from some sort of subordinationism, end quote. The Trinity gives us a concrete universal and a concrete particularity, whereas non-Christian thought remains abstract. Where subordinationism prevails, the consequences are more than theological. They are practical, political, ecclesiastical, and social. Subordinationist thinking has been basic to Caesaropapism. In Byzantium, in medieval Europe, and in the modern world, false notions of the Godhead have led to false views of unity. The idea of status centralization of powers and ecclesiastical centralization has rested on a theology of subordinationism. The rise of Unitarianism has been the triumph of status unity or totalitarianism. To give priority to the being of God the Father meant the priority of creation to redemption. The state was seen as an order of nature, and hence prior and more basic than the later and, quote, additional, end quote, factor of grace. Hence, the state claimed priority and saw itself as the principle of unity. Subordination of persons or attributes means a limited religion also. Thus, those who see grace as basic and subordinate law and other attributes to grace will stress mainly salvation. The broader requirements of God's word are bypassed. Politics becomes almost a non-Christian or anti-Christian concern, whereas for the Unitarian mentality, the salvation emphasis becomes a neutralization of man. Subordinationism thus limits Christianity because it begins by limiting God. The conclusion of subordinationism is the destruction of biblical faith. It is understandable thus why Bavinck declared, quote, "Thus, the confession of the Trinity is the sum of the Christian religion. Without it, neither the creation nor the redemption nor the sanctification can be purely maintained," end quote. In essence, subordinationism is anti-theistic. It rests on an anti-God principle. In subordinationism, an idea or principle, a universal or a law, governs over God and is the real God. This idea may be derived from the Bible, such as sovereignty, dominion, grace, or law. It becomes the one master principle in terms of which God is understood and determined. It is then the idea which governs God, and we are the thinkers of the idea. By means of our ostensible honouring of God, we deny him and exalt our own reasoning. Van Til has stated the matter clearly. Quote, "We may therefore speak of the, quote, system of truth, end quote, contained in Scripture, only if we are careful to note that its various doctrines are not to be obtained by way of deduction from some master concept, there is, no doubt, consonance between the, quote, doctrine of God, end quote, the, quote, doctrine of man, end quote, and the, quote, doctrine of Christ, end quote, as found in Scripture. But even when conjoined and seen in their fullest harmony, these and other doctrines together do not begin to exhaust the riches of God's revelation to man through Christ and his Spirit. End quote. There is no truth nor system of truth over God. We cannot subordinate God to any idea of truth or to any aspect of his being. Well done for listening all the way to the end. This is Nathan, the narrator, speaking to you from Puebla, Mexico, from the Faith for All of Life school in which I teach English as a volunteer. I teach from kinder through high school. Now, I rely on donations in order to keep teaching and recording, so if you want to support a Faith for All of Life school in Latin America and want to keep listening to Rush Dooney while you vacuum, drive or cook, commute or whatever you're doing right now, donate at ctn.org/Nathan Conkey. That's NathanConkey, all lowercase. Or if you prefer PayPal, paypal.me/NNathan Conkey. You can also email me at nfconkey, that's nfconkey@gmail.com. Thanks, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.